I've got a special episode of the Carrot Cast for you today, and I'm not in my normal studio, not in my office. I'm not even in Roseburg, Oregon right now recording this, and I'm not in my truck. So I'm actually at my at the house I grew up in through high school and everything with my parents, and we're having this service for one of my heroes in life, like literally one of my heroes in life, one of the top two people, my dad and my grandpa, that have really influenced and shaped who I am as a human being, as a leader, as a father, everything. And my grandpa Howard Morris passed away a week and a half ago here in Oregon, and he was a hero among heroes, not just for me, but for thousands and thousands of people. He was a coach for decades, athletic director, multiple halls of fame at the college ranks for wrestling, for football, for for administration. And while he had all these amazing accomplishments in his life, professionally and athletically, I think the biggest accomplishment is something that I really started to realize the depths of it this past week as I've been putting together a video for my grandpa's service and reaching out to a lot of his players from over the years. And it was one of the coolest things I've ever done, and also one of the hardest things I've ever done. And just hearing the stories of the impact my grandpa had on these players, and we're talking 30, 40, 50 years later, some of them, it really made me think about legacy. It really made me think about what is it that over those years really is actually important. What is it that stood the test of time with my grandpa? And what was that common thread between every single story that those players told and every single story that us as family members of my grandpa have told? And there's several threads. You know, he was a funny man. He was tough. He was really, really tough. He expected a lot of you, but he did it in the right way. He did it as an encourager, not as a reprimander. But the one thing that really tied all those threads together was his kindness. While he was one of the toughest guys I knew, like I said, he expected a lot out of you, which it lifted you up instead of pushing you down. He was also the most kind person that could be just an amazing roadmap, an amazing example for someone to live by. And I've inherited a lot of my grandpa's traits, his positivity, his kindness, I feel, lots of other things. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of his legacy, and those of us who had been impacted him by him over the years, you know, we are his legacy. So I have a special episode of the Carrot Cast for you today. I took this week off from recording a podcast as I'm down here with family, but what we're doing is we're doing a kind of a cross podcast. My brother and I, my younger brother Kyle Mock, who owns a sports clothing company called Athletes Brand, we put together a podcast called Success at Success some time ago. It was within this past year. We did a half a dozen amazing episodes. Go to successatsuccess.com with the owner of a $300 or $400 million a year company here in Oregon. And we brought on the former head of all Disney World on that conversation, Lee Cockle, to talk about creating magical experiences in business and life. We have one with Ashton Eaton and Lewis Howes, two people that are at the top of their games in the podcast world, with Lewis and then Ashton Eaton, the 2-time gold medal winning decathlete. Okay. And then the one we're going to be showing you today, or listening to today, is with Leon from The Kindness Diaries. And if you guys have never seen The Kindness Diaries on Netflix, go to Netflix, look it up. It's called The Kindness Diaries with Leon. And he's got an amazing story. Go watch the first episode of The Kindness Diaries after this podcast, and then you're going to get hooked into the rest of the series just like I did. And the reason why I wanted to bring this episode of Success at Success podcast with my brother, and Leon from The Kindness Diaries, and Joe Englem from Survivor fame, all four of us are on this podcast, and we talk about the power of going out there and doing what you want to do in life, the power of kindness, the power of just going out there and being the inspiration for other people and not caring what people thought about you. Every single bit of that was my grandpa. And I think this would be a perfect, perfect way this week to honor my grandpa, honor kindness, and start to help him you know, continue that legacy of kindness through this. Okay. So I want to introduce you to my brother Kyle on this episode, to Leon from The Kindness Diaries on Netflix, and Joe Anglim from Survivor. I really want you to go over to success at success.com and subscribe over there, because Kyle has taken that podcast over now and he's doing some amazing stuff, especially if you're an athlete or a high performer. He's got some amazing, amazing guests on success at success. Go check it out, subscribe. Okay. But for this episode, listen to Leon tell his story, Joe tell his story, and us four banter back and forth on the importance of passion, purpose, and kindness in our lives and in our legacies.
So great. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, man?
How are you?
We're trying to get it so you can see both of our pretty faces, really.
I can see three of your pretty faces.
Right.
Welcome to Success at Success. I'm your host, Kyle Mock, here with my brother and co-host, Trevor, where we sit down with the most successful people on the planet to find out what makes them tick and how to reach that next level of success. Let's go. We've got two awesome guests on today, and Leon Logothetis and Joe Anglim. I discovered Leon while flipping through Netflix, looking specifically for an adventure documentary, and the title of the show just caught my eye, The Kindness Diaries. I binged the show in a week and felt that I had to get in touch with this guy. Leon's one of the most inspirational stories and people that I've come across in a long time. He's an adventurer, a motivational speaker, a philanthropist, and the keen of extreme budget travel. That's not what he's always been, though. He used to be a broker in London before he gave it all up for life on the road. Leon's living proof that anything's possible through kindness and human connection. He's crossed 90-plus countries in every continent. He's the host of the TV series Amazing Adventures of a Nobody on Nat Geo, the hit Netflix documentary, which, by the way, go watch as soon as this is done, called The Kindness Diaries. He's an author and much, much more. We've also got my buddy Joe Anglim here on the couch with me, who's best known for his role in the hit show Survivor, which AJ Vaynerchuk said on our last show is his guilty pleasure. Joe is also co-host of his upcoming show Mana, which takes him around the world inspiring others. Joe is also a jewelry maker, an artist, a craftsman. As I've gotten to know him over the last year, I've learned that he too has a knack for extreme budget travel, where it seems he's always on the go and trading art or construction or something for a roof over his head in some pretty amazing places. I wanted the two of you, though, to come together because you both live lives inspiring others, and it's an interesting dynamic with the knowledge and experience that you both have that can be huge for those that are looking to live a more fulfilling life. And maybe there's a thing or two that you guys can connect on as well. But what I really want to dive in today is three things: discovering purpose, living a more fulfilling life, and selfishly, I want to hear some of your adventure stories. But first, Leon, how did you transition from being a broker in London to a global traveler and now TV star?
Well, I used to be, as you mentioned, a broker in the city of London. And on the outside, I pretty much had everything you could want. On the inside, I had pretty much nothing you would want. I was spiritually and emotionally bankrupt. I had no sense of purpose. I was totally lost and profoundly, I felt alone. And I watched, I stumbled across the movie The Motorcycle Diaries, which is a romanticized version of Che Guevara traveling around South America, relying on the kindness of strangers. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience after watching a movie or a documentary, but I realized that there was another way to live. And my soul just said to me, either you do something about this or we're going to have a real problem. So I quit my job and started to travel the world relying on the kindness of strangers. And that's kind of how it all started.
Wow.
Man, so I want to toss something out here, and this goes for both of you guys. But of course, the title of this podcast is called Success at Success, and the whole kind of nexus was, you know, how do we live successfully? Because success on the inside isn't always what success looks like on the outside. And I can definitely tell from both of you guys that your version of success, it seems like, has changed over the years. So what to both of y'all has happened with your internal version of success after the experiences you had now?
Well, I think you said it perfectly, Trevor. I guess, so what is your definition first of success, you know, personally? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what you have to gauge is, you know, what is your culture teaching you as is successful, you know, for probably most of at least my life, it's been, you know, you need the car and you need the money and you need the house and you need the family. And like that, once you achieve those things, then you're successful, right? Because that's mm-hmm. what I've been taught by my peers. But now for me, it came down to what we're talking about, my purpose. What is my purpose here on this planet? What is my purpose in my gifts that I've been given by God and that I've developed? And now how can I use my gifts to kind of just help other people? And the most simple, and that for me is success is, that's the thing. It's always depending on whose perspective you're looking from. So I don't know for you, Leon, like what is success for you in the business world was totally different than now this, this really successful mission that you've created for other people.
I mean, look, there's nothing wrong at all with success in the business world. There's nothing wrong with success on the outside. Nothing wrong with it at all. I find it to be hollow if you do not come from the heart. Mm-hmm. I find it to be hollow if you're not sharing, as you say, your gifts with other people. Mm-hmm. So the greatest success is to affect lives in a positive way. And many people in business can do that, and they come into business with a heart. But for me, the greatest success is the foundation of coming from a place of love, from coming from a place of compassion, from coming from a place of empathy. And you build everything from that foundation. Like Muhammad Ali, you know, he was a great boxer, but really he was just a man that came from his heart, you know, spread love, spread kindness, and happened to be a world-class boxer. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Gandhi. Gandhi was a politician ultimately, but he came from a place of love. Mm-hmm. And he came from a place of inspiring change through his heart. And we can all do that. Each and every one of us can do that.
Absolutely.
Man, and that's, I want to kind of unpack that a little bit, because you mentioned, first of all, you said, hey, of course, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with success in the outside, or success in business, or success in athletics or whatever. It's got to really come from the heart. That's how true happiness, fulfillment, how I think humanity's version of success actually is, right? And for you, Leon, I know, so you were a broker in London. What was it then getting kind of out of that environment that helped you come in touch with your heart? Or did you start to come in, were you having this conflict in work where you're going, shoot, success equals this over here, but I can't get my heart into it? Or did you find your heart afterwards?
That's a great question. And the reality is that I found my heart afterwards. Mm-hmm. I left the position because I was in so much internal pain.
Yeah.
I didn't know consciously, oh, okay, let's go and travel the world and open up my heart and connect with humanity.
Yeah.
You didn't see any of that. Story. You had no idea that was coming.
No. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why the movie, The Motorcycle Diaries, was so profound, because it opened up my eyes to, like, wow, there's another way to be.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how much courage did it take you to come out of that place of, you know, you're miserable, but you know, misery likes company? And how long were you in that place before you finally decided, you know what, I gotta make this change?
Look, I would say that it was about, if my memory serves me correct, 4 or 5 years that I had been sitting behind that desk. So it took some time. And yes, it was courageous to a degree, but also, as I'm sure you guys know, when you're in pain, emotional pain, there comes a time when you're up against a wall, mm-hmm. and you have no choice but to act. Yeah. So I feel like that's where I was, because mm-hmm. if the pain wasn't that bad, mm-hmm. I would not have left. I would still be there.
Or you would have turned to something to numb the pain.
Exactly.
Which I think a lot of people, unfortunately, know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, I have so many questions about your journey through there. I'm really curious about, I'm going to pass over to Joe really quick, man. So I think most people, of course, know you from the Survivor and then what happened after that. But where were you at before? Kind of what was your life like before, and how has Survivor and that path kind of changed it a little bit?
Yeah, I kind of have a very powerful, unique story with Survivor. Ever since I was 10 years old, I'd been a fan of the show. So since it first aired, and I used to have very vivid dreams, and I still do, about just my life in general, but being on the show, playing the game, having this very successful journey, getting my dad out to the family visit. And these were all things that I dreamt about my whole life. So for when this happened, it was a very huge manifestation for me, not only just for me and my family, of all these years of me saying, wait until you see me on this show someday. and then even beyond that now, of my outreach to the fans and to all of these people that I never would have met without the show. I'm helping a lot of youth and a lot of children and a lot of kids to pursue their dreams and do the same thing. But I was an art major. I've had every job you can possibly think of, but it was all making me well-rounded. It was making me diverse and adaptable to different communities, environments, people, relationships. And then I thought I had a pretty good idea of what the show was about and what my life was about and what I really valued. And then I went out on the show and I was out there 24 days, and then I was voted out, and then I was home for 6 months, came back and went 32 days in the next season. And that next season really broke me. It just took me to a whole new level of starvation, of living in the Cambodian rainforest with just, you know, machetes, essentially. And that really does take you out of your comfort zone rapidly. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a spiritual experience for me in that. And then coming home and seeing that I have every resource I could possibly want and need and use to my advantage. And we all do. Like, we all have the same resources on this planet, but who's thriving? Who's not? Why are we all in this state of constant struggle with one another? And it's, you know, it's all here. It's all this and this. And we don't really understand it because we're in our comfort zone, maybe our whole life. And we never are put outside of that. So once I was put into this whole new situation, you know, it was just a good gut check, a good kind of just reevaluation of myself. And then when I came back, I said, I don't ever want to go back. You know, I have too much to offer. I have too many things that I want to give to the world and to people. And I want other people to tap into what I tapped into and what it sounds like, you know, Leon and Kyle and you, like, we're trying to live it, and we've had a little experience, but everything is just a concept until you experience something firsthand and in that. So I don't know. There's more. There's so many more things that have happened since then that it's beautiful when you just let go and let God and let it all happen.
Right.
It's amazing. Like, it's powerful. It's so powerful. Yeah.
Kyle, I know you got some questions stewing in your head, man. What's stewing in your head? I've got a bajillion questions. I don't want to dominate it. So go for it.
No. So I think one of the big things, like, how long did it take before you started seeing success, kind of in your new career, Leon?
Do you mean the career side of things or inside my heart?
Both.
Look, you know, it's. I often share the story about how I watched the movie and left my job, but it's not such an easy thing to do, in the sense that I don't want people to think that, oh, I watched a movie, I quit my job, and everything was great, and I'm so happy, and thank you, and goodbye.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what happened. You know, from a personal standpoint, there were very many dark moments, moments that I learnt from, moments that at the time they were happening, I wish they didn't happen, mm-hmm. but they did, and I became better for them.
Right.
And when it comes to the career stuff, you know, I started, my first TV show was in 2005. Mm-hmm. Actually, it came out in 2006. That's 11 years ago. So I did the TV show, then I had to go back to work and I sat behind a desk again. Did that for a couple of years. Then I ended up quitting that once and for all. And, you know, yeah, I've had some success. I've had some books. I've had some shows. I do speaking. It's great. Mm-hmm. The question is always more. Mm-hmm. There's always more people to inspire and more people to chat with. And it's about whether or not you can just accept it. Like you said, let go, let God. That was beautiful. Because when we get out of our own way, that's truly when magic happens. When our mind takes over, that's when we start suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The doubt, the fear, the second guessing, the what are other people going to think, the what is my family going to think, what is... There's so many, there's so many scenarios of things that we talk ourselves out of doing all the time, or just like your kind of a simple act of kindness. Me and Kyle were just talking. How often do you see that person on the street, and that little voice inside your head says, "Oh, you should offer a hand of help," and we run through all the scenarios of why we're either too busy or we have, you know, there's all these things that will prevent we prevent ourselves from doing what we intrinsically know. In our heart.
It's nature to talk yourself out of things rather than talk yourself into things.
And then you feel worse because you went against your nature. You went against that purpose, that little voice, the spirit,
right.
And saying, this is what you should do, and you didn't do it. And now you feel like, you know, I don't know, why do I feel depressed? Why do I feel like I'm not doing what I know I should be doing? And that's because we fight our nature all the time. That's crazy.
You know,
it's crazy.
I think in general, too, I mean, you know, part of humanity is we want to be kind, right? I think there probably are definitely certain people who are not kind, who are evil. But I think in general, people just want to be kind. And kindness, there's a certain vulnerability there. You know, there's a certain vulnerability where some people might kind of fear that, shoot, what if I do step out? And like Joe said, what if I do step out of that comfort zone and lend this hand? What could happen? Will I be taken advantage of? You know, things like that. And that's one thing that even just watching some of those episodes of The Kindness Diaries, like, man, you know what? I'm sure behind the scenes, there were times that you did step out of that comfort zone and got bit. But in general, most people, it seems like, just want to be kind. Are there certain circumstances you really remember where it's like, man, I tried this, but I really did get bit and saw some of the other side of the opposite of kindness?
Walking across Southeast Asian land border crossings.
Huh.
There's no room for kindness per se, in the sense that bureaucracy has taken over.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that, please, Southeast Asian land border guards, don't send me any hate mail. I'm not saying that you're there's bad, but I'm saying that bureaucracy has taken over. And there were other moments on the road, of course. There were people that weren't pleasant. There were people that got pissed off at me. There were people that that tell me that I'm mooching off people. Okay, great, whatever. If that's what they want to believe, then let them believe it. I'm not going to be able to change their minds, and I don't really want to change their minds. If they want to believe that, great. But you always end up connecting with someone who's got the magic, and when that person's got the magic, it's a beautiful moment. It's like the flowing between two human beings or a group of human beings is a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite person or favorite moment of kindness from The Kindness Diaries quest?
Yes. I'm often asked this question, and I always answer it the same way, and that's Tony. Mm-hmm. He's the homeless guy from episode 2.
Yeah, that was amazing.
He was a man who had pretty much nothing on the outside. He had one bag with clothes, yet he had everything on the inside. And it was interesting because, you know, I'd started the journey with nothing on the inside and everything on the outside. Mm-hmm. And here I was meeting this guy, and we were the perfect match for each other. I ended up staying on the streets with him. He protected me, he fed me, he gave me clothes. And he taught me that true wealth is not in our wallets, but it's in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to the issue, of course, money is important. It gives us safety, it gives us options. But the truest of wealth is in our hearts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he proved that to me. And I had to sleep on the streets just for 10 hours with this chap. Yeah. Just 10 hours. And he was doing it for years. And there are millions of people that do it for years.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have been to India. No. But in India, literally, you will see whole families sleeping on the sidewalk.
Oh, wow.
Whole families. It's just incredible.
So what's Tony doing now? Have you had a chance to stay in contact with Tony throughout this journey?
Yeah. So part of the show was that I was relying on kindness, but also I was giving back.
Yeah.
Come back around.
Yeah, exactly. And Tony, I was honored to be able to put him up in an apartment and send him back to school. So I put him up in an apartment, sent him back to school to become a chef. But, you know, sometimes people ask me, they say, so what happened to Tony? And I tell them, well, look, you know, this isn't a Hollywood ending.
Yep.
If it was, he'd have his own house, he'd run his own restaurant, he'd get back together with his wife, he'd have some kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how it works sometimes in life, because homelessness is not just a physical, situational illness. Mm-hmm. It is a mental one. And, you know, Tony got himself in a bit of a pickle. He found his way out of it. He's living in an apartment again.
Cool.
I'm trying to get him to go back to school. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge. You know, it's not easy for him. It's as it wouldn't be for any of us sleeping on the streets for 5 years.
Yeah.
And some of the stories he told me about how he was treated by his, I don't want to mention names, but some of the stories that happened to him as a kid.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I would be in your situation most likely if that happened to me.
Yeah, their perseverance. I mean, we can't even fathom. We can't even get close to the pain and the turmoil that most of them live every single day. That we get to. I mean, we're lucky and blessed enough that we are able to do this right now. But I think that's just it's that level of like you said. I think the best word you is compassion. I think just having that and just understanding that we're all here on the planet, we're all trying to figure it out and do the best we can, but because of a product of our environment or our upbringing or our experience, some were dealt a really bad hand. Some were dealt way, you know, and we have to understand that and be compassionate. And that's the world needs more and more of it. And so it's just like, I'm just honored to meet you. Honestly, Leon, just because you inspire me, because I'm like on that grass, I'm on the bottom level of what you've done, and now I'm just kind of now starting my own stride, and I appreciate your journey and your story, man, because it really is powerful, and you're living it and helping these people.
Thank
it's
you.
Awesome, man.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Would you say you're living your purpose right now, Leon?
I would say I'm closer. I'm as close as I have ever been.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I go and I give speeches to kids. And I remember hearing a story once about Tiger Woods. I know it's kind of ended badly for him, but whatever. Up until he did some bad things. His dad used to look at him in the eyes every day and say, "I believe in you." Every single day for years, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a beautiful, powerful thing to hear. And I made a decision to try my best, imperfectly, of course, to spread that message, whether it be through kindness, whether it be through compassion, whether it be simply sitting in front of 500 kids and telling them, look, if you leave this room without having heard anything I say, that's okay, as long as you listen to what I'm about to tell you next. And then I tell them, I say, look, I believe in you. The Englishman that stands here in front of you may not know you, but he believes in you with 100% of his being. Mm. And I can say that genuinely because every human being, or 99.9% of human beings, have magic in them. It's about getting it out. Mm-hmm. It's about having someone look at them and tell them, I believe in you. And if you feel that for like 3 seconds, it never goes away. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's 10 years later that you act on it. You will always sit there and be like, wow, when he said I believed in me, in him, in you, or whatever, I felt it in my very core. And you can never get rid of that.
No. No.
And man, and that's, this kind of topic right here definitely excites me, because I know I'm going to give the brief version of it. But I kind of went through my own version of what you did. It sounds like kind of in your crisis phase, and same thing, you know, success is on the outside, inside, didn't want to get up in the morning to do the work, you know, that I had set out for myself. I'm just miserable. And no one knew. I didn't tell my family, didn't tell my wife, no one knew. And so for me, it was like, I almost had to have a quest. And it almost sounds like that's what, I mean, all three of you guys here in front of me have gone on a quest. And man, you're dead on. I want to spend a little bit more time on this, because this is so important. Because like you said, we don't want people to leave this call going, oh, you know what? If my back's against the wall, I'm just going to leave this. I'm going to go travel the world. I'm going to go do this or do that. Then I'm going to be magically happy. I think one distinctive thing that I feel happened to me, it sounds like happened to you, Leon. Same thing possibly with you, Joe. And I know Kyle, you know, you've gone on your own quest here. Is it wasn't just me deciding, hey, I think I might want to have a little bit better touchy-feely, more purpose, right? Like that was something I definitely wanted. But I'd almost say it is completely not okay to continue living my life the way that I was. You know, like I was just going, whatever it is, I'm going to have to cut ties with anything that is not completely helping to serve this purpose, to tie to my gut, to tie to my heart. And so I cut ties with everything business at that time. And it was that year where I kind of stopped looking for my purpose. And I'm kind of asking, I want to ask you guys both that question is, especially Leon, when you had made that decision, were you beating yourself up mentally about finding your purpose before that? And what did you do about your purpose as soon as you said, okay, I'm just going to go on this? Were you trying to find your purpose then? Or did you say, I'm just going to go on this quest and whatever happens, happens?
Oh, I've been beating myself up about trying to find my purpose for many, many years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, why can't I find my purpose? You know, Barack Obama has found his purpose. Winston Churchill found his purpose. Mother Teresa found her purpose. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
but it's so interesting because as of late, I've stopped questioning myself about finding my purpose.
Yep.
Because in many ways, when I go out into the world and I share my experiences and I speak to people, and that, you know, I am living my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever my purpose is, why bash yourself?
Exactly.
You can't find your purpose.
Exactly.
Like, thank you so much, honestly, for asking me that question, because I've just realized now, mm-hmm. looking back, I'm like, wow, like I was beating myself
yeah.
about not having my purpose. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure many people do the same. They bash themselves. Yeah.
we're our own biggest critics, always.
Oh.
We're always second guessing. Is this what I'm meant to do? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I don't know. Is this what's meant to be? And that little voice in your head questioning yourself is that right there. You've got to stop that voice, that little doubt, and go, I believe in me. I believe mm-hmm. in, and he believes in me. My family, my friends believe in me, and they know, and I know. Like you said, when you saw the kindness diary, you know, the kindness diaries is now like it's the fruition of all these things that you just were living, but you didn't see it until after the fact. Just like when we all leave this earth, none of us are really going to know the impact, hopefully, we all had in the lives of all of the people that we touched until mm-hmm. we're gone, until that last day when God's like, you know what, here you go, here's what you did with the time I gave you. And that's what I, like, that's where I'm at now, is I'm on the other. I'm already dead. And looking at what did I leave behind? What did I? Did I squander my gifts? Did I, you know, or did I use them to their fullest capacity and make the world better? And like, and I, mm-hmm. and that's all I continue to try to remind myself every day is everything is a choice. Every single thing, from the thing I put on my body to the car I drive, to the house I live in, to where I live, we always have a choice. And just, but the hard part comes when you have to choose to remove your own self from getting in your own way and putting yourself exactly where you want to be, because we all can, but we make reasons every day not to. So I just, you know, again, it's that courage that I guess that it's, it don't doubt it. Don't doubt that your own courage that you have, because we all have it. Just got to unlock that door.
I will say something else. Why, based on what you just said, a wise man once said to me, I was doing a trip in India with him. And he said to me, "So Leon, who inspires you?" And I'm like, "Winston Churchill, Pele, Gandhi." And he said to me, "Leon, the reason why they inspire you is because everything that's in them is in you."
And that's big.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the truth is, it's the same for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever inspires you or whatever you look up to is in you, and that's why you can relate to it, and that's why you are touched by it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And from there, it's a matter, kind of like we've been talking here, it's a matter of getting those, whether they're mental or physical, those roadblocks out of our way, so we can actually live those things in us even more. And I'm sure once you kind of got out, I mean, this is a really good example. So in the Kindness Diaries, you're in Chicago. You stayed overnight with a tailor or something like that. And I remember on there, you said, "Man, it was fun, but pretty quickly I realized that I was slipping into the old life that I was trying to get away from." And it's like, we've got to get away from those things that are blocking those things in our heart from coming out, because for some reason, society or that group of friends or whatever isn't okay with those being out. You know, maybe it's cooler to be the cool guy or the critical person or the whatever versus being kind to everyone in that circle of people. So we need to get out of those, you know, almost self-imposed blocks and into the world where we can actually live those things that are deep in our heart.
Yeah, which, Trev, is a big deal. I think one big problem is that we're all kind of like horses and we all have our blinders on and we all want to worry about what we're doing all the time, but you have to be able to do that and still have your blinders off and look and see all the relationships around you and how you affect them and then how they affect you. And and I think what's happening in our culture is we're so overstimulated with so many things all the time that our brains literally can't just calm down and relax and live in a state of meditation and calm and peace and really have a talk with ourselves about what we really want and what we really need. And and so, you know, I do a lot of yoga and meditation, and that's really opened up a lot of things for me and other people that I've been working with and working on. And I think that's part of our culture too, is that the groupthink is now changed in society, where, you know, we're only a couple hundred years out of living primally, where it's quiet in nature, quiet all the time, and now we just have so much going on. We can't process it. So I think that's part of, you know, just to tie in a little bit about like mental health, spiritual health, and your physical health, having that balance is also really, really important to unlocking that success and that purpose within yourself. Because if you cloud it all up, you're not going to be able to really find it either.
Yeah.
But that's a very interesting point. I'll tell you a little story. So most of us aren't even aware that we are crazy. Yeah, that we
have, like, most of us. No one really knows they're crazy.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's news, there's Twitter, there's Facebook. I did a journey last week where I took a train from LA to Chicago, and it took me 42 hours. I had no phone with me, I had no computer, just me and the train, and I stayed in my room basically the whole time. And after I finished the train, I was like, well, what the hell did I do that for? But when I got to the airport in Chicago, it was madness.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was. There was advertisements everywhere. There were people on their phones. There was the news. And I realized how we are all so inundated with all this stuff, as you were saying, and we are totally unaware. It took me, I mean, I've done other trips, but that 42 hours of calmness and then the madness of the Chicago airport, like, jolted my brain. I was like, whoa, no wonder we're all going nuts.
And it kind of hurts.
Yeah. It's so true.
Well, and when I came back from Survivor, and I know this is going to sound pretty trivial, but I experienced my own PTSD just living in a survival state and losing so much weight. And I really did tap into my primal state of survival in terms of I didn't care what I did or who, what I said. My body physically was breaking down on me. And so I was doing things I wouldn't normally do. And I feel like that living in a state of stress, once you live in that state of stress for so long, that you change over time and you become unaware of what your actions are. And that can hurt you more just in terms of your relationships than anything else. Anything else is just your lack of awareness. My biggest thing now is I want kids to go out and get in nature, do outdoor, just be alone in nature, and you'll learn so much about yourself so quickly. I want more people to do it, because when you do come back and you go, wow, is this really like my life? Is this really what I'm doing all the time? Then you have a different perspective, but you have to be able to step out of it for a little bit, out of your comfort zone, and that's, you know, again, that's the hardest part. Well,
Now I want to ask a question to close this out, and it's kind of goes on the theme of what success is, but I want both of you to answer this. You can be the best in the world at something and still feel unhappy, but what is your definition of success, and what is your biggest piece of advice to those that don't fit your definition to find that success?
Go for it, brother. You start it.
Just throw me under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you know, I would, my definition of success may very well be different to others, and that's great, and that's okay. But I would say my definition of success is to know thyself. Mm-hmm. My definition of success is to come from the heart and to touch people's lives in a positive way. I would say that can mean tremendous business success. It can mean tremendous success as a teacher. It can mean many different things. But if you come from those two places, that to me is success. And if you're wondering, well, how on earth do I get there? I would say many of us are committed to our jobs. Many of us are committed to our families, but very few of us are committed to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And very few of us are committed to truly mining all the gold that's within us and sharing it with the world.
Yeah. That's good. That's good, man.
I love that. That's it.
Yeah. It's hard to top that, huh? what he said.
You threw yourself.
He's like, ditto.
Well, he had a good, you know, he started off, he nailed it. I think I would second all that and just add that for me now, success, I guess I'm not worried about being successful, because I already kind of know where I'm at. Like you said, just know where you're at. My heart, like the challenge that I'm having now is sharing what I've experienced and the things that I've learned, and doing it in the right way, doing it in the right, for me, the right way that reaches the most amount of people or can tell the story in the right way. So that it really resonates. That's kind of my biggest challenge currently. So I guess success for me is, continuing to create media and platforms and things that can really help people. Cause I think our culture just needs it. I think our media and film, it's just, there's so many things we create. So people in general, we have so much power and we have so much beautiful energy. And if we all combine it together with a great intention, it's powerful and it can change entire communities. So that for me is like, I want other people to find more success and to have just a happier state of their life, of their own well-being. And I guess until, until the clock runs out, I'm just going to keep shooting for success. But again, success is whatever, whatever we want it to be, whatever we put our chips into. So, yeah, but
well, that's one of the coolest things that everybody's got their own definition of success.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, it's different for everybody.
And like you said, we're all capable. We're all capable. We all have it in us. It's just a matter of believing in yourself, believing in your gift, and then trusting and trusting that if you do that, regardless of any other thing, that that makes you happy, then isn't that what, isn't that success? Like that you're doing something that you love every day and regardless of an outcome, but the money will come. I told myself that since I started this journey is I'm going to help people. And ever since then, you know, the next thing just keeps presenting itself. Right. The next opportunity, the next, I mean, I'm sitting here with you amazing gentlemen. Now we're, and we're, hopefully this will be another seed for another plant that will, it's just, it's the same cycle. So yeah, success, helping other people reach that success is success.
Love it. So guys, I want you to do kind of one, where can people find you and what's a current project that you have going on that you kind of want to share that people can check out?
Find Leon on a train somewhere from.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Sure. All my social media is currently at Janglum21, J-A-N-G-21. And I'm working on a lot of media projects. Currently pitching my TV show. Me and Kelly Wigglesworth are doing yoga events and spiritual meditation training. Especially we want to focus on youth. Let's just keep it going, man. That's all. Just keep it going. Keep spreading the love, dude. Keep spreading the love and the good vibes, because that's what the world needs right now, especially right now.
I love it.
Leon.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Look, the best way to find me is to go onto Netflix and just put The Kindness Diaries into Netflix and do the same thing on Google. And then all my Facebook pages and Twitter and everything will come up. But The Kindness Diaries on Netflix, that's the best way.
Perfect. Excellent. Leon, thanks for everything you've done, man. Seriously, that's why I wanted to reach out. It was The Kindness Diaries inspiring me. And so there's 100 questions that I've still got that I want to ask you.
Yeah, same. Same. Like, we can talk. Yeah, we got to definitely.
So yeah, if you're ever out in Arizona, grab your beer, grab your coffee, whatever you want. We get to sit down and chat. Thanks for taking the time, Joe. Thanks for taking the time.
Great connecting, Leon. Pete, thanks, guys. Safety, no travels, man. Absolutely. Right. Thank talk you. To you soon, hopefully.
Thank you guys very much. It was awesome.
Later, Trev.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to episode 7 of Success at Success with your hosts, Kyle and Trevor Mock. Special thank you to Joe Anglim and Leon Logothetis for dropping in today. Go check out The Kindness Diaries. I'm telling you, Netflix. Go buy the book on Amazon. Whichever you prefer, you won't regret it. Give Joe a follow at JANGLIM21 on Instagram and Twitter. And please, if you can, go give us a review on iTunes. Success at Success. Until next time. We're out.
Man, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Success at Success as a guest on the Carrot Cast. And like I said, if you enjoyed that conversation, go over to Success at Success and subscribe to my brother's podcast. He has an amazing format over there. He brings multiple guests on at one time and just talks about what high achievers, highly successful athletes, performers, and all different types of life do to make them perform at that level. Okay. Successissuccess.com. Find it on iTunes and subscribe. Now, what I want you to do, I really want to, and this is for my grandpa. Okay. For Howard Morris, is what I'd like you to do is please go out there and find a way in your life today to make someone's life better. Give someone a smile. Find a way to be extra, extra kind to someone you normally wouldn't. Look that person in the eye on the street as you're walking by them and smile at them. Okay, the homeless person sitting there on the side, don't just walk by them. Don't look at them. You know, how can you help them up? Okay. In other parts of your life, how can you do things that maybe aren't convenient for you at that moment, like taking in a foreign exchange student like my grandparents did so many times, or taking that extra time with a friend who is a friend in need, or whatever it is. Those instances that are inconvenient but powerful. Notice the next time you had that in your life over this next week where you would normally say, you know what? It's just too inconvenient to go out there and build that relationship. It's too inconvenient. We don't have the time to invite these friends over tonight to build fellowship. Okay. I want you to go past that hurdle, go through the inconvenience and err on the side of kindness, err on the side of relationship building like my grandpa and grandma did for so many years, and really go out there and help me to help amplify part of my grandpa's legacy. You can find out more about my grandpa if you're just kind of curious about this amazing man that has really helped to mold me. Go to athletesbrand.com/pages/Howard Morris, I think it is. Or here's a domain name for you. W Howard Morris. So W Howard Morris, I believe that's what it is. WHowardMorris.com. And it's going to take you over to learn about my grandpa. If you want to, you can even go and give to their scholarship at the same university that I have a scholarship. It's my alma mater. He coached there for decades, was athletic director there for decades, and his scholarship now is living on to help tons and tons of students. You can go to oit.edu/Morris, oit.edu/Morris, and you'll be able to go directly to give to their scholarship. If you'd like to help move on that legacy. So I appreciate the time once again, and you letting me bring success@success.com as a guest, and go over there and subscribe. All right, have an amazing week. Go out there, be kind, be an amazing influence for someone else, and start building your legacy now, not in 10 years. All right, talk next time. Bye-bye.